Pascha Week is a period in the year where the Church relives hour by hour all the events of the final days of our Lord Jesus Christ, culminating in his victorious crucifixion and his glorious resurrection. Upper Room Media presents to you the Pascha Week sermons.
I'll start off by asking you to do something a little bit different in Passion Week. Can you all just close your eyes for a second, and I'm going to give you a scenario, and I'd like you to tell me how you feel after this scenario. I want you to imagine that you work in a restaurant as a waiter or a waitress, and that this restaurant is a very exclusive restaurant, a very expensive restaurant. Every night a man comes and he books the most expensive table there. It has these fantastic views out over, say, Sydney Harbour, for instance, and he books it every night. And every night, this honourable man, this very wealthy man, this very handsome man, waits for his date to come. This man dresses really well, he has very nice taste. He grooms himself very well. He has combs his hair, and if he has a beard, he trims his beard nicely. And you sit there and you watch this man every night. Every night he comes and he waits and he waits and he waits. And some nights his date comes. Some nights she doesn't come at all. On the nights that she does come, she wears this old t-shirt, torn jeans, she wears a ship. Her nails are not done, she doesn't wear any makeup. When she walks past you, she smells a bit, doesn't put on any perfume. And when she comes in, she plays with her phone. She doesn't give this man any respect. On the times that he talks to her, she looks away, she might look at her phone. Sometimes she takes phone calls, sometimes she watches TikTok. And this man every night still comes and waits for that person. Now I want you to open your eyes and tell me, what do you think of that person, that woman? How do you feel towards her? Do you feel good towards her? Do you feel bad towards her? Do you hate her? Do you love her? My reaction is, this woman is a ma'afina. Now, I don't know what your reaction is, but unfortunately, that's actually most of us. Every night, our Lord Jesus Christ is waiting to spend time with each and every one of us. Every morning, our Lord Jesus Christ is waiting to spend time with each and every one of us. And unfortunately, a lot of us do not give him that respect and do not give him that time. Sometimes TikTok is more important than spending time with God or spending time with our Bibles. Sometimes playing soccer or playing Xbox or going here or going there or talking to a friend or just going to sleep is more important than spending time with Christ. And if you were like me and you thought that this woman was not the best and was not the kindest to this honourable man, then likewise we too are very similar in our everyday lives. Our day today, being Tuesday, is commonly known as Parable Tuesday. But I like to call it Remember Tuesday. What we really should be doing is remembering that Jesus wants to spend time with each and every one of us. I want you to remember that you will not live forever. And I want you to remember that this world will one day end. And remember, if you want to enter heaven, that if you were listening to the readings today, there are two key things that are very important throughout our spiritual life, and we need to remember to do them for us to be able to ever enter the eternal life. These two items were mentioned in the first hour and in the sixth hour. They're two different items. But both the Gospels of today mentioned these items and said you cannot enter without them. Can anyone tell me what either of those are? Who was listening? I'll give you a hint. The first hour gospel was about the wedding banquet. A king has a wedding banquet for his son, and he invites all the nobles. The nobles too lazy to come, give him every excuse, so he ignores it. He goes and invites everyone else out in the street. They come, and the king's walking around looking at his guests, and he sees a guest without a... Yes. A what? A wedding garment. And what does he do? What does the king do with that guest? Can you tell me? Yeah? He kicks him out. Absolutely. It does worse than that, actually. It says, but when the king came in and saw the guest, he noticed the man there who was not wearing a wedding cloth. He asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? The man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the first thing that we need to remember to enter heaven is that we need a wedding garment. What's a wedding garment in our everyday life? Yes? That's very good, but let's look at it from a spiritual sense. What do you think the wedding garment is that allows us to enter heaven? Yes?
Prayer.
Sorry?
Prayer.
Not quite. I'll give you a hint. It's a sacrament. Sorry?
Faith
is good, but not the one I'm looking for.
Baptism.
Excellent. Baptism. So the wedding garment in this parable refers to baptism. But let me ask you something. Does everybody who gets baptized get into heaven? No, absolutely not. So what is it that we have to do to be able to get into heaven if not everybody who gets baptized does get into heaven? Our wedding garment in baptism will get dirty over time. We sin and things we do wrong. And so we confess. Excellent. But there's three things I want to ask you with regards to confession. What do you do before confession?
Repent.
Thank you very much. So we repent. We say sorry to God in our own prayers. That's our repentance. We go to a Buddha. We confess. That's the absolution. But then there's a third thing. Yes? Sorry? No? What's the third aspect of renewing our wedding garment? We learned this the other day. We actually have to have Holy Communion. When we have Holy Communion, it is like we are saying we are putting on Jesus Christ. When you receive Holy Communion, it is like renewing that wedding garment. So remember, throughout your whole life, keep your wedding garment ready through repentance, through confession, and through Holy Communion. In the Mass, Abuna prays a particular line, and he says it twice in the Mass. What does he say? Our Lord Jesus Christ is given for remission of sins and eternal life for all those who partake of it. So that's point number one. Always have your garment ready. The second thing that we learned tonight was in the sixth hour. The sixth hour parable was the parable of the 10 wise virgins. Do you know how many times the church reads this parable every year? More? 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 Hey? Who can tell me where it is?
Matthew.
It is Matthew, and it's chapter 25. Very good. But where is that read in the church canons? Every day, except for Passion Week. Every day in the first hour of the midnight prayers. That's how important the church sees this parable. It tells you to read it every day. So what's it so important? What I would like to do is to quickly go through it, and we'll try and analyze it and understand what each aspect of it is. So if you've got an Agbia, you can go to the midnight prayer, and it's the first service. Or if you have your Pascha book, it was the sixth hour gospel. It starts off by saying, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." My first question to all of you, who do the 10 virgins represent in this parable?
Us
as who? Humanity or as a church? It's actually the church. Remember that the word virgin in the Bible means purity. Or in this situation, it actually means faith. So it's saying people of the faith. And that's actually quite a scary thought, to think that almost 50% of people of the faith were considered foolish in this parable. Who is the bridegroom? Yes? Our Lord Jesus, absolutely. And then it says, "Now five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept." What does slumbering and sleep mean in reference to this parable? Yes?
Are they dying?
Yes, death. If you read the book, if you read the story of Lazarus, our Lord Jesus Christ says, Lazarus has fallen asleep, in reference to his death. So it's symbolic of death. What is the number five represented in the Bible? It says five were wise and five were foolish. What do you think the number five is? What five things does each human being have?
Senses.
Very good. So here it's saying the five wise virgins use their senses wisely, and five foolish virgins use their senses foolishly. "And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there shall not be enough for us and you, but go to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" So, if we need oil to get into heaven with the bridegroom, what is that oil? It's obviously something quite important. In the first hour, we read, you need a wedding garment. In the sixth hour, we're learning you need oil. So we need to know, what is that oil? What do you think that oil is?
Jesus.
Yes? Not quite. Yes? Good deeds, very good. St. John Chrysostom says, it is the work of the Holy Spirit making you do good deeds. Now, you all know when you're baptized, you receive a guardian angel. St. Shenouda, the Archimandrite, actually says, at the same time, you actually get a guardian devil. Each one of us is allocated a guardian angel and a guardian devil. And if you remember the old cartoons, you may see when someone's in a bit of mischief, the angel's talking in one ear saying, don't do that, do something good. And the guardian devil is also on the other side saying, don't you dare do something good. You go do something bad. You go do something what is pleasing to you. And I want you to imagine that every time one of us does something good, you have a container and it has your name on it. And your guardian angel goes and pours some good oil in your container. And every time you do something bad, your guardian devil goes and takes that oil. It'll be black, filthy, old, disgusting oil, and pours it in another container. Also has your name on it, and pours it in. Now, have you guys heard of a saint in our church called Saint Peter the Slave? St. Peter the Slave was actually a very rich tax man, and he was very, very stingy. And one day he came home and he found a beggar in front of his house. And the beggar was there going, please give me food, give me something to eat. And St. Peter, who wasn't saint at the time, took a loaf of bread and smashed it in his head. And he said, take that and go away. That night, Peter had a dream. And I want you to listen to the dream. It says, that same night, Peter the tax collector saw a vision in his sleep, as though he was in the judgment day where the scale of justice was erected. Does everyone know what the scales of justice are? The scale, and it tips from side to side, and there's a statue, and the statue is blindfolded, and you put a heavy weight, it goes up. Put a weight on the other side, it comes back and balances itself out. So that's what he saw in his dream. And he's saying the scales of justice were erected. And he saw some people clothed in black in the ugliest forms. They would be his guardian devils. They came and put his sins and his injustices in the left pan of the scale. Then a group of angels of light with beautiful countenances and white clothes came and stood beside the right pan of the scale. They appeared perplexed, for they did not find anything to put in the pan. One of them came forward and put in the loaf of bread with which he had hit the head of the poor man and said, there is nothing for this man except this loaf of bread. And that's a very scary thought. It goes on that the story is St. Peter actually repented. He went so far as to give out all his money, sold all his property, got rid of all his clothes. And when he had nothing else left, he sold himself as a slave and gave that money to the poor. That's how vivid, that's how scary the day of judgment will be. He saw it firsthand and he changed very quickly. And now he's given the rank of saint in our church. So going back to those scales. Does anyone know what James chapter 4 verse 17 says? James 4:17. It says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. So go back to those scales. Imagine you have an opportunity to do a good deed. You do the good deed, you get good oil. If you don't do the good deed, it is actually a sin. So what do you get? Bad oil. But there is a light. The good oil is stored forever. But you can get rid of your bad oil. How do you get rid of your bad oil? Sorry?
Confession.
That's why Abuna wears black. Because he takes your black oil. I'm just kidding. He doesn't really wear black for him. But Abuna takes your oil and he dumps it for you. He gets rid of it for you. That way, when your containers go on the scales of justice, what happens? The good oil is heavy. Bad oil is light. Okay. How much oil do you need?
A lot.
Yes. The answer is we don't actually know. As much as you can is the answer to that. Do as much good things as you can. And when you have an opportunity to do something good, ask yourself, am I getting oil for this? Yes. If I am not going to do something good, then guess what you're going to get? Bad oil. Black oil. So it's very important to every aspect in your life to try and do good deeds, to get as much good oil as you can. Now, the scales of justice and the dream that St. Peter had are not actually biblically true and not theologically true. But let's read what the Bible actually says about what will happen. In Revelation verse 20, St. John says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life." And listen to this. It says, "And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." That's what it says in the Bible. Things are written about us in books. And you will be judged according to what is written in those books. Does everyone here know the story of St. Moses the Black? Yes. St. Moses the Black, when he eventually went to confession, his father of confession, who's also a saint, his name was St. Isidore, saw something. What did he see? Does everyone know the story of St. Moses the Black? Yes or no? Does anyone not know him? You don't know the story of Samuel. So Moses the Black was a thief and he was a slave and he ran away from his master and became the chief of thieves. And he had a gang. And his old master used to worship the sun. So he'd walk around in the desert saying, "Oh son, are you really God? Are you really God?" And he heard a voice saying to him, "Go to the monks of Natrun or Wadi Natrun, the desert monks, and they will tell you who God is." And he went and he asked and he found out from the monks who God actually was. And over a long process of repentance, he finally decided to repent and become a monk. When he became a monk, before he became a monk, I beg your pardon, he went to confession with this Saint Isidore. And as he's confessing, Saint Isidore saw behind him like a blackboard. And the black book was full of black writing. Every time he confessed, Saint Isidore could see an angel wiping something off the blackboard, wiping another sin off the blackboard, until the blackboard was completely clean. And that's just exactly what is written in Revelations. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. So we go back to the first point. We have to keep our wedding garments clean so that what is written in the books about us when we go and stand in judgment is clean, is clean. And the last point about what we read in the sixth hour today is, at the end of it, it says, afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. And that is a very scary thought. Imagine all your life you spend it going to church, having communion, going to Sunday school, and at the end of time, you come face to face with our Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, I do not know you. Be careful. All of us will one day have to face judgment. All of us will one day stand before our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want him to give you a big hug? Do you want him to give you a big embrace and say, come, enter into the kingdom of God? Or do you want him to say, I do not know you? We have to be very careful. We have to keep our wedding garments clean. We have to accumulate as much oil as we can. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.